Introduction. Hospital-acquired infections, which I call HAI, you've heard a lot about HAI at this conference, are one of the most patient safety considerations in healthcare facilities. The CDC and WHO estimate that 4 to 10% of all inpatients will develop HAI. You've heard that before as well. And the question you have to ask is, why is it difficult to control HAI? Okay, background. Okay, over the past 20 years, the WHO have promoted hand washing as the cure-all for HAI. I'm not a medical person, but I've been in hospitals, and I personally have to question. In Hong Kong hospitals, the workers are constantly reminded to wash their hands. It's probably true here in Pakistan. And for example, here you see nurses in a Hong Kong hospital in a relay. They're playing a game to show to the public, you, that they are intent on stopping HAI by washing their hand. Here they're being timed in a relay as well. Well, these are promotional stunts to show that they're very interested in protecting HAI, but are they really? Now, maybe I can't play this. Okay. This is another video, and you've seen others here. This is a WHO video, and it shows what you've already seen, but I put it in because I didn't know what was going to be shown here. Again, these are promotional. This is what is called a WHO Safe Hands campaign. This originated in Geneva. And these are 5 points that they make for hand hygiene. The first one is to wash your hands before touching the patient, first point. And then the second point is before clean aseptic procedures, which you all well know. You have to keep doing this now. Third, after body fluid exposure. After touching a patient, wash your hands again. Okay, basically, if I summarize this, what is being said, the hand washing protocol, after you touch a patient, you must wash your hands, you know, before clean aseptic procedures, after body fluid exposure, before touching a patient, after touching a patient's surrounding. Now the problem with this is, as I would see it, again, I'm not from the medical profession, although hand washing is generally adopted worldwide, HAI have not been significantly reduced. It may be necessary, but it's not significantly reducing the HAI. Hand washing is time consuming, as you can see. It must be repeated each and every time you touch a surface. And this is simply not done. And I've been at the Hong Kong hospitals. They do not do what they promote. So the compliance is on the order of 30 to 60%, but it's never 100%. And this is an example of that. This is the hand gene compliance versus time over 2 years. You can see an improvement from maybe 30 to 50%, but clearly you don't get above that. What this means to me as an observer is that hand washing itself is the most likely reason for HAI not being reduced. The question then is there an alternative to hand washing? Maybe there is. And that's what I'm going to propose to you today, and I'm not even convinced that will work, but that's what I'm going to do. Proposal, QED-induced EM radiation from NPs molded into disposable gloves, as you all know these type, is proposed to disinfect HAI. And here, QED will be quantum electrodynamics, EM electromagnetic, and NPs I use for nanoparticles. Now, QED disinfection differs from microbial disinfection that requires contact of the HAI with the nanoparticle. I'm not talking about that. QED-induced UVC radiation from nanoparticles in the glove, upon absorbing body heat from the fingers, will disinfect HAI at a distance. You actually emit radiation. The nanoparticles emit UVC. And as a preface to this talk, I'd like to say that some of you may feel it's absurd that HAI can be disinfected with UVC produced from body heat. We all have body heat, right? It's very low level, but is it sufficient? I'd like to show you that it probably is. And it's not absurd because of quantum mechanics. The QM here is quantum mechanics. This is the pivotal argument in the whole presentation. There's a little bit of physics here, but it's not too difficult for any of you to understand. Principle of operation. By quantum mechanics, the atoms and the nanoparticles, now the nanoparticles are very small, as you well know, they do not have the heat capacity to conserve the body heat from the fingers by an increase in temperature. I'll show you that shortly. And instead, QED will conserve that body heat by creating UVC radiation inside the nanoparticle. Now, for a refractive index N and diameter D of the nanoparticle material, the wavelength of emission is twice the refractive index times the diameter. And for zinc oxide, and I use this as it's a nanomaterial. It has a refractive index around 2.5, and I think you can see 2 times 2.5 times 50 nanometer thick. That's 254 nanometers, which is almost UVC. That's basically the physics you have to understand. Theory, heat capacity of the atom, conservation of energy, EM confinement, heat capacity of the atom. This again is the crucial point. Here you see a plot of the Planck energy of the atom in electron volts on the ordinate. And on the abscissa, you see the thermal wavelength in microns. On the right, you see the KT energy of the atom at room temperature, 0.258 electron volts. Now this white line that goes all the way across from the macro scale out here beyond 1,000 microns to the nanoscale below 1 micron is constant. So when you do classical physics, this is what you assume in molecular dynamics, COMSOL, ANSYS, and all those programs. This is what is being assumed. However, with quantum mechanics, it's a different ball game. This is the Planck law. It's over a century old now. And if you plot it out at 300 degrees Kelvin at room temperature, you get this yellow curve. And you can see down here to about 100 microns, you could argue that classical physics and quantum mechanics give about the same heat capacity. However, below that, you can see the quantum mechanical heat capacity basically vanishes. This is a log scale, so it drops very rapidly. And the bottom line here is that in nanoparticles, the atom has no heat capacity. So you're over here, there's no heat capacity whatsoever. Okay? You won't find that in classical physics. Okay? Conservation of energy. If you don't have heat capacity, how do you conserve the energy that's absorbed? And the proposal that's being made is that the absorbed electromagnetic energy is conserved by creating QED radiation inside the nanoparticle. And this occurs by frequency upconversion to its electromagnetic resonance. High electromagnetic confinement. Now, I showed you on the other plot, to get the high electromagnetic confinement, you have to go way down to the nanoscale. So how do nanoparticles do this? They have high surface-to-volume ratio, and those of you who know about nanotechnology know this. So what this means, when energy goes into the nanoparticle, it's all in the surface. It's in the surface, not in the volume. And what this means is the atoms inside are under high electromagnetic confinement, but quantum mechanics precludes a temperature increase. The temperature cannot increase. And then to conserve that energy, QED converts that trapped energy now into standing EM radiation in the UVC that disinfects the HAI. Here's what I mean. Here's the finger inside of a glove. The glove material shown here, the nanoparticle. There are many now, many nanoparticles inside. I show one. This is the HAI. Body heat comes in from the finger into the nanoparticle. It's absorbed in the surface. There's no temperature increase. And what happens is that QED produces a standing wave, which I show here. Now, once of course the energy in the surface is converted into the radiation, the standing wave, there's no longer any electromagnetic confinement, and the energy comes out. Now, it comes out in all directions, but basically I show it going to the HAI. Equations are simple. This goes back to Richard Feynman. he presented what is called Feynman diagrams. This is very complex mathematics, and I don't want to even get into that. But basically, if you have a quantum mechanical box with sides separated by distance d, and you put energy into that box, you're going to create radiation half wavelength equal to d. Okay? And on that basis, the frequency of the radiation produced is the velocity of light c divided by the refractive index n divided by the wavelength. And again, I just showed you lambda over 2 is equal to d. And the Planck energy of the radiation is Planck's constant h times the frequency f. Implementation. QED disinfection protocol, body heat, available UVC dosage, and then how much dosage do you need to disinfect bacteria? QED protocol. The disinfection protocol assumes that the QED glove acquires HAI by touching something, and the UVC dosage required to disinfect the HAI depends on the time, tau, between touching the surface and touching the patient. Okay? And that means that D is equal to Q times tau. Q here is the body heat, which again is admittedly very low, but is it sufficient? Body heat every one of us emit about 100 watts of power, and the average area of an adult man and woman is about 1.75 square meters, and the body heat, then you can just compute this, it's about 6 milliwatts per centimeter squared. Now, the available UVC dosage for body heat, if I take the 6 milliwatt per centimeter squared and convert it to microwatts, it's 6,000, and D is equal to Q times tau, and if I take 10 seconds again as a number here to just to go on with this, the dosage then will be around 60,000 microwatt seconds per centimeter squared, right? UVC disinfection dosage. We go back to the question in the preface, can body heat disinfect the HAI? Right? Maybe you have questions on that at this point. Well, here I show the ultraviolet dosage. This is UVC for 99.9% destruction of various organisms. And here the units are microwatt seconds per centimeter squared, and I just showed you what 10 seconds would do. Now these are all the bacteria, spores, algae, viruses, and yeast. Now for tau equal 10 seconds, this is 60,000, I just showed you that. So you can disinfect all the bacteria shown here, all of the yeast, and some of the molds, spores, and virus. Except as noted, and I note these, that you can't handle with 60,000 microwatt seconds per centimeter squared, and these are the ones. Okay, extensions. QED radiation beyond HAI are diverse. It's been proposed as the fourth mode of heat transfer, discrete MD simulation, shock waves, nanotube pressure, etc. But of relevance to this conference, disinfection applications. And again, I use the 50 nanometer zinc oxide coating or the 50 nanometer zinc oxide nanoparticles. Okay? I need the 250 nanometer radiation. Okay, in public transportation, this is a picture from Hong Kong again. Our MTRs, they have what is called grab poles, and you can see people here having their hands on the grab poles. Well, you know you have to have them because when the subway lurches, you have to grab onto something. But when you do that, you pick up all the bacteria from the person that held it before you. Now, what is depicted here is heat. There's a heater coming up through these poles, electrical heater, and a 50 nanometer zinc oxide coating on the surface. And that produces the UVC, and you get around the infection problem. Smartphone, same argument. Here's a smartphone, you touch the smartphone. If you put a coating, again, 50 nanometer zinc oxide, the heat from the electronics will pass through here and produce UVC, which will disinfect your bacteria if you hand a cell phone to someone else. West Africa, and here I talk about Ebola and drinking water. Actually, this is where I started. QED-induced UVC radiation from body heat in handheld nano-coated bowls, and something like this, okay, when I'm talking, handheld. Heat from my hand goes into the bowl, right? They will disinfect without electricity, which is very relevant to West Africa. There's no electricity to speak of there, but there's body heat everywhere. Everyone knows that. So the protocol, again, is 6,000 microwatt seconds per centimeter squared. For Ebola, you need around 400 microwatt seconds per centimeter squared is a small value. Actually, Ebola is not that difficult to kill with UVC. Very easy compared to E. coli. So all you have to do is move the bowl over any surface nearby. It's not going to irradiate that far, but if you go over a surface with the bowl, in less than 1 second scan, that's sufficient. And here I show that. And for drinking water, you need more. You need around 38,000 microwatt seconds per centimeter squared. You have to hold the water in the bowl for at least 7 seconds. 7 times 6 is 42, which is greater than 38. And here I show that picture. Now, at yesterday's conference, hand washing came up, as it were, you were here yesterday. And washing hands in water is highly recommended with soap. But if you don't have soap, what do you do? And what you can do, and I came up with this last night, just use the same